Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Bharat Highways InvIT Q1 FY25 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Amit Kumar Singh, the Chief Executive Officer of the Investment Manager. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Singh.
Thank you. Thank you, Yusuf. Good morning, everyone, and thank you so much for joining us today. We are pleased to welcome our investors and analysts to the second earnings conference call of Bharat Highways InvIT. Your continued interest and support are invaluable as we discuss the latest financial results and share insight into our business performance. I'll now take you through the quarterly operational highlights and progress made by the InvIT during the quarter ended June 30, 2024. As of June 30, 2024, the AUM of Bharat Highways InvIT post our first distribution stood at almost 6,000 crores, having seven HAM assets with an average balance life of 11.58 years. As of June 30, 2024, the outstanding annuities of the project SPVs stood at 5,768 crores, and 42 of the total 210 annuities have been received. On the acquisition front, in relation to the acquisition of GR Aligarh-Kanpur Highways Private Limited, I would like to update you all that unit holders of your InvIT in their first annual general meeting held on July 25, 2024, had approved the proposed acquisition subject to receipt of necessary authorities' approvals. The NHAI approval for the transfer of shareholding is expected soon, and we expect to complete the acquisition of this asset before the end of current quarter. Apart from that, we are also exploring acquisition of third-party assets, and we will keep you updated as and when development happens. I'm very pleased to inform you all that, reassuring our commitment on distribution, the board of the directors of the investment manager on the meeting held yesterday had approved a DPU of rupees 3 for Q1 FY25, that is 72% in form of interest and rupees 2.28 in form of dividend. Our cumulative DPU at the end of the first quarter will stand at rupees 6 per unit. In the road industry, we are witnessing significant advancement and shifts that are reshaping the sector. The Union Budget for FY25 reflects the government's commitment to infrastructure development and economic growth by allocating over rupees 11 lakh crores for the infrastructure sector, including rupees 2.78 lakh crores for the road transport and highways. There is a clear visibility of completion of several key road projects, and we are excited about the opportunities these assets will present for our InvIT. I'll now pass it on to Harshal, who will talk you through the financial details before we open up for the queries. Thank you. Over to you, Harshal.
Thanks, Amit. Coming to Q1 FY25 performance on standalone basis, the interest income on the loan extended by the trust to the SPVs was rupees 135.84 crores, and dividend received from the SPV was rupees 138 crores. The dividend income getting reflected in profit and loss statement was utilized for distribution during last quarter. Further, EBITDA for the quarter was around 270-odd crores. On the debt side, during the quarter, we had availed external debt of 662 crores at the InvIT, which was utilized to repay the existing SPV-level debt, and as a result of which, we don't have any external borrowings at SPV. The total external borrowing at trust stands at 1,135 crores, and interest on the same was 18.8 crores in the last quarter. The tax outflow getting reflected in the profit and loss statement is only on the other income earned by the trust at the rate of 42.744%. Just to highlight, in case of one of the SPVs, Varanasi-Sangam Expressway Private Limited, there was a change in completion cost by NHAI, which will result in lower annuity payments from NHAI for the balance concession period. The NPV of the differential cash flows, this is the earlier balance completion cost and now, works out to 49.406 crores, which is calculated on NPV basis. Accordingly, InvIT has claimed and recorded the same amount as recoverable from GR Infra under the share purchase agreement. The InvIT has invoked this right, and we have reduced our investment in the subsidiary to the same amount. On a consolidated basis, the revenue from operations was 127 crores, which primarily includes O&M income, finance income on financial assets, and change of scope income. And other income for the period was 64.30 crores, resulting in total income of 191.44 crores on a consolidated basis. The EBITDA for the period was rupees 144.1 crores. In relation to NDCF at the trust and SPVs, the project SPVs have declared a dividend amount of 434.2 crores for Q1 FY25, and interest income which was received for the period was 137.7 crores, resulting in total cash upstream to the InvIT of 571.9 crores. Post adjusting for finance cost, DSRA reserve, trust level expenses, which has been captured on slide 8 of the presentation, the NDCF works out to 523.43 crores. Out of which, 390 odd crores has been retained towards consideration payable for acquisition of GR Aligarh Kanpur, which Amit mentioned earlier. And balance amount of 132.88 crores will be distributed to the unit holders, resulting in a distribution of rupees 3 per unit, and breakup of which works out to 2.28 rupees per unit in the form of dividend and balance is in the form of interest. Thank you, and we are open to questions now.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handset while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. First question is from the line of Anand Mundra from My Temple Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Good morning, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. The new asset that we have acquired, what is the IRR for that, the acquisition IRR?
So, new asset, what we have basically, you know, which we are in process of acquiring is GR Aligarh Kanpur, which is in the same range of IRR, which is around 12%.
Okay, so how would this lead to a change in our overall IRR? Because I think this will be debt funded majorly. So we are borrowing at 8.1% and the IRR is 12%. So this should lead to some bump up in yield.
Yeah, so if you see, basically, you know, 390 crores of the equity, which just Harshil mentioned, which has been, you know, held back for acquisition of this, and 766 crores of the debt, what we have basically, you know, lined up from one of the lenders. So total enterprise value is 1156 crores, breaking up into 390 crores of equity and 766 crores of the debt. So it's not that entire is being funded through debt, but yeah, a substantial portion is being funded to debt. And I think because of this, my yield uptick for the overall InvIT is in the range of around 0.5 to around 0.9 to 1%.
Okay, so this should lead to a 12, so 11.5 is what we had guided. Now it should become 12 to 12.5. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's correct, but it's also on the function of, you know, basically interest on annuities. So while this is as on date, suppose if an interest rate movement happens, it might be basically, you know, changed. So that's why we are saying that it should be in the range of 0.5 to 0.9 to 1%, depending on, you know, how the repo movement happens. If repo movement doesn't happen, then what rates or, you know, basically what range you set is right, should be around 12 to 12.30, 12.40. But on the safer side, we can say that this should have an uptick of around 0.5%.
Oh, but sir, given that it's widely expected that repo rates will fall, shouldn't we be going for acquisition that higher IRR? Because it's almost like if it doesn't happen in 6 months, it's going to happen in a year. It's inevitable. So
see,
what is
beyond? See, it's a function of, so in our case, the ROFO what we signed with GR Infra, out of 21 assets, there are, I think, only three more assets which are linked to repo, and rest are linked to average MCLR of top five banks. Okay? So it's not that it's only movement of repo, because it's also a movement of when repo movement happens and how that it gets transferred to MCLRs of the bank. But yeah, going forward, I can't say that we should go for higher IRRs, because if the interest rate movements to the downward side happens, of course, expectations will also move on, because right now our discounting is 12, maybe tomorrow somebody can expect for 11.75. But in case, suppose if MCLR movement also happens, we should have an acquisition, and that's what I think we had given guidance, that every asset acquisition should happen to a higher yield of the current trading yield, so that my incremental asset acquisition becomes the yield accretive.
Okay. So, sir, currently our external debt is linked to repo or is it linked to MCLR?
Currently, because all my assets, basically interest on annuities, are linked to bank rate, so all the debt what we had available are linked to repo.
Okay. All right. And so how does our NAV change with this acquisition?
NAV change, I think, NAV on a combined basis, maybe I need to just get back to you. How much is that? Because right now my AUM first post distribution was almost 6,000 crores. With addition to this, my AUM should be in the range of 7,156. And then accordingly, I need to calculate the NAV. So maybe I'll just revert on the NAV bit to you.
Sure. And sir, given that we have a AAA rating only up to 3,000 crore leverage, and we are already, if we acquire the asset, I think we are at 1135 now, and then we'll acquire the asset, 766 crore will get added. So about 1,900-2,000 crore debt. And then our headroom is only another 1,000 crore, whereas we have a ROFO pipeline of, I think, 21 or 23 assets. So how do we plan future funding?
No, it doesn't work that way. So basically regulation says that your leverage should not cross 49% of the EV. So my EV will also change once I keep acquiring the assets. So right now, if you see, I had headroom of almost 3,000 crores of the debt I can take to reach this 49. Even I'm not saying 49, it's 45-46%. Because it's on the higher EV or the EV, resultant EV, it should be 49%. So 3,000, that was not just for the 49% we had taken. 3,000 we had started with that time, and that 3,000 number was incremental. So right now, basically if you see 6,000 crores EV, we are currently at, so we can take 6,000 crores ka 50%, which is 3,000 crores as of now, while we are at 1,130 or 36 crores, which is just 18-19%. After this also, I will be 7,156, and if you do 49% of that, it will be almost 3,500-3,600 crores, right? After acquisition of this. So I have a headroom of more, actually, almost, you can say 1,700 odd crores headroom. So it's not only 1,000 crores I'll have also. Once I take more assets, of course, that assets EV will also get added, and then 49% of that resultant EV we need to take care of. It's not only what we have decided now.
Got it. So, how many more assets are we planning to acquire this year?
See, this year, there's one more asset of GR, basically, which we are exploring whether we should acquire, because the second annuity of that will get due in April. So if we need to acquire that, we need to acquire that 10% of the under construction criteria. And there are also some third-party assets which I can't disclose now, we are looking at. So if all those things works out, maybe one or two more assets we should acquire this year.
But sir, why just one asset of GR? Because you mentioned there's a 21 asset pipeline that we have. So most of them are all under construction right now?
Yeah. So they're not under construction, different phases of construction. So how it works is, I think the InvIT regulation, you can only take asset into InvIT if you have operational or revenue generation track record of 1 year.
One year.
So,
sir.
So at least you should have received two annuities before you take. However, InvIT also provides you to acquire under construction asset up to 10% of your EV. So for example, my resultant EV is, for example, is 7,000 crores. I can acquire a 700 crores of the asset even if under my, you know, 10% under construction criteria. So we can do that, but it gives me very little, you know, headroom to acquire under construction assets. So that's why I'm not overcommitting. And those more assets from GR, which will be like having a track record of more than two annuities, will start coming from next year onwards. So you'll see maybe more number of asset acquisition next year onwards, other than third party.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
And so we have paid out dividend this quarter, but if I look at the console level, there is no tax payout that's happening. There's just a 4% tax rate. So if you are paying dividends, then the SPVs are making a profit and there should be tax at the SPV level. So not able to understand, even if we are incurring a profit, but we are not paying any tax.
So Anand, we are distributing the dividend from the accumulated reserves which are there in these SPVs. So that is the reason why there is no tax outflow at the SPV level.
So going ahead, I think there should not be any, I mean, have the reserves been depleted or it's still available? How would be the payout structure going forward?
So, I think till the time we'll have reserve, we will have positive reserve, we'll keep paying through in the form of dividend, whatever available. And then maybe, you know, we'll see that either it should be through interest or it should be, you know, we should start repaying the debt. So maybe as of now, you know, I think we have sufficient reserves, positive reserves. So I think you can expect dividend, more dividend to coming in the, you know, in the coming distributions.
Okay. And so this payout is for what period? Last quarter you had mentioned that it was up to 10th June, from listing to 10th June. So this payout is for till what period?
You can add 3 months. It's simple.
Okay, but then the payout is happening before the 3 months, I'm guessing, because the record date is just 16th.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. And so we are not required to maintain any major maintenance reserve, because I don't see any cash being allocated to that.
So major maintenance reserve, it depends on lender to lender. It's not that we are not required. See, there's no requirement, it's a regulatory requirement. Is the requirements comes from lenders under the, you know, loan agreement. So maybe with some of the lenders, we may have negotiated better. So we are not required to maintain reserve now. But I can't commit tomorrow, somebody, you know, different lender comes and he asks me to put a reserve and that offsets for the benefit he is providing. We may have to. But as of now, under the loan agreements, what we have entered into, we don't have any requirement to maintain any major maintenance reserve.
So the valuation has been done considering that we have to maintain the reserve, right?
No. So there's are two things. One, you basically, once you make the SPV model and once you make the InvIT model, so valuation has not been arrived considering the major maintenance reserve, because this we have tied up with lender where the major maintenance requirement has been dispensed with. So that's how valuation been done.
Okay, so if there is a requirement tomorrow from the lender's end to maintain a major maintenance reserve, that might result to a yield loss. Is that a correct assumption?
No, difficult to say that, because if there will be requirement, then maybe it's different other ways also to look at. So very difficult to say comment on that assumptions now. But generally what happens at the InvIT level, there's a pool of cash flows. So you can, if you're able to explain to your lenders that major maintenance reserves are not required, and if they agree, then you may not require going forward as well.
Okay. And sir, one final question. How much of our portfolio would be in high-risk zones, like maybe ghat areas or high seismic zones or some flood-prone areas?
Nothing. Out of seven and this potential acquisition, eight, nothing is like that.
Okay. Thank you, sir. That's it for me.
Thank you. Thanks.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, you may press star and one. Participants, to ask a question, you may press star and one. Next question is from the line of Ashish Shah from HDFC AMC. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, good morning, gentlemen. Sorry if this was covered earlier. I logged in late. By when are we expecting the NOC for the transfer of Aligarh-Kanpur from GIA? Because I saw that we have got the completion certificate very recently. So by when could we expect the transfer to happen now?
So, Ashish, we are expecting it very soon. And, you know, as we had said on the call also, we are very sure that we should be able to confirm, complete this acquisition by this quarter itself. It is very soon what we are expecting. Difficult to give a timeline, but could be, say, maybe a couple of weeks. But the transaction to complete before this quarter, that we are working towards, and that looks feasible.
Right. Also, our full year guidance, which was earlier given at close to 11 rupees, is that maintained for the FY25?
Yes, Ashish. So the guidance was 11.5, and if you see the two distributions put together, which is 6 rupees, so we are en route to our guidance, maybe beating our guidance.
Got it. Right. And any more acquisition that could be completed within this year from the ROFO assets, or now we could look at an acquisition potential in the next year only?
No, Ashish, I think one asset of GIAL, which is, you know, completed asset, and basically completion, I think completion certificate came on, I think, 6th or 7th of April. So technically, for two annuities, it might spill over to next year, next financial year. But then what we are thinking that, you know, regulation allows to do 10%, basically 10% of the EV of the, basically EV of our InvIT. Those value of that 10% asset I can acquire under construction category. So, I mean, I'm just exploring that. We are just exploring whether can we take that asset. Even the first it is annuity would have been received, and second would be very close to the end of financial year. Can we do that acquisition within the year itself as a second acquisition? So we are just exploring that because I think that may happen and that may be workable. So we can do that. And other than that, we are also looking at some third-party acquisition. Wouldn't want to comment on those now. If that fructifies, so maybe we can say at least see one more asset, you know, which can happen within this year. So this is the pipeline, one or two more assets within this year. But next year onwards, we have a decent pipeline because the assets are getting completed, two annuities been received or completing. So I think then we can see more asset acquisition next year onwards.
Right. And the third party acquisition we're talking about, that would be HAM.
Yes.
Or that could be BOT as well.
That's HAM as of now. No BOT.
That's HAM.
Yeah.
Right. Sure. Thank you. Thank you for your answers.
Thanks, Ashish. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Dheeraj Dave from Samvad Financial Service LLP. Please go ahead.
Thanks a lot. Am I clear?
Please use your handset, sir.
Yes. Yes, sir. Yeah, so my question is basically you did indicate it, and congratulations on outperforming on your guidance. We do anticipate 12 rupees as you are suggesting going by whatever last two distribution. My question is basically how we see, assuming that there is no acquisition and stands, it means basically we manage with the 7 assets. What's the kind of distribution we should see in next 3 years, and also what would be component? Basically, it would be dividend, interest. Broadly, if you can give some guidance on that, it would be helpful.
Okay. So, see, first thing, I think you would have heard that maybe, you know, we are going to acquire one asset very soon within this quarter. That should happen because thanks to you all, I think you all have, all the unit holders have given us approval. Our board has approved, and even GIA's board has approved. So, I think just pending NHAI and NOC, we should be able to, pending NOC work what we are waiting. Once that NOC receives, I think we should be able, and we are very sure about that, we should be able to
So we can consider 8 assets. Yeah, it's just a matter of time. So yeah, formal 86. So we can assume 8 assets. So let us assume 8 assets, whatever we have. And stand still, it didn't require do any.
Yeah, I can tell you that the guidance what we talk about, right? And if there's not much movement on say interest rate, with this acquisition of GR Aligarh Kanpur, over the next 3 years, we are the guidance what we spoke, we are very much in line of basically meeting that guidance.
It should be 12 rupees approximately per annum.
Yeah, so basically around that we should be able to maintain that guidance even with the acquisition of GR Aligarh Kanpur and forget all the future of asset acquisitions.
Thanks, sir. And the second question would be, what would be the composition? So basically this time we find that dividend is almost 2 rupees 20 paisa and that's tax free, right? Under the tax law?
No, I think dividend is taxable. See, it's the first year because most of the SPVs have, basically positive reserves, right? Accumulated reserves. That's why it's more dividend. But I can tell you that this composition is going to change maybe sometime next year onwards, yes. And then you can start seeing maybe a balance of their dividend interest as well as the capital repayment.
Okay, so we cannot extrapolate this year's dividend, which is like substantial portion. So would it be like kind of 50-50 or something, interest and capital redemption next 2 years?
I just need to see that because I just need to see the model. But interest is going to be say in the range of around 55-60%. Dividend is going to be coming down heavily. That is going to be say around the range of 10-12%, 15%. I'm just talking about range. And the balance will be, you can say, repayment of debt. Yeah, repayment of debt.
And we are not looking at any tolling assets. Broadly, it would be HAM assets, which will give a reasonable assurance of cash outflow.
No, see, since you just asked for 8 assets, these 8 assets are the underlying HAM assets, right? So okay. Basically, what number I'm talking to you about is all including this 8.
Yeah, I'm talking about 8 assets. I'm basically this asset is HAM. I'm saying future equation, not to be confused with the previous question. Yes, I understand. But in future, do you look into acquiring tall assets?
See, to be honest, it's not that. We have closed our eyes towards the toll assets because thing is, see, as an investment manager, wherever I see opportunity, right, where I can see a higher number or maybe, the uptick in my yield, which I can distribute to my unit holders. If there's any opportunity, it's not that, we'll be closing our eyes off to those assets because there may be some opportunity may come up. But one thing is very sure that the guidance what we had given to our unit holders initially at the time of IPO and whatever guidance we give over the keep giving over the calls, those guidance should not get disturbed. That's the primary basic investment thesis we have in mind. And any asset we acquire, we would ensure that the guidance what we have given, those guidance are being met on quarter to quarter or maybe yearly. We don't want to disturb those guidance.
Fair enough. Thanks a lot. Wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next follow-up question from the line of Anant Mundra from My Temple Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity, sir. So just wanted to understand, even if we acquire the under-construction assets, because the second annuity is due in April, so it will immediately be converted to an operating asset, right? So it's just a matter of 5-6 months if we have to do the acquisition.
It's not even, see, to be honest, 5-6 months because how it works, Anant, is that suppose April 6th or 8th, whatever that was the COD, a PCOD date. So you can't take that assets, basically even you can't apply to NHI, NOC and all before 6th or 7th of October. Because as per NHI, you can't, you won't be able to transfer your basically rights to any of your SPV to anybody else. Before 6 months of the completion. So once you start, so you'll be only able to start the process after 6 months. So like October 1st week after I start the process, maybe, because we need to, maybe lender, NOC and all, we can run parallelly, but again, you need to go to NHI and for taking the approval. So that approval you take and generally takes time, right? Easily 2 to 3 months. So maybe the best case, you'll be able to say finish the acquisition by December and by 7th or 8th of April, it will become an operational asset, so my that 10% thing will get freed up. So actually it works like that. So it's not 5-6 months. In the best case, it would be, I think, 2 to 3 months.
Got it.
And the moment it receives the second annuity, of course, it will have a, I'll have a higher EV, right? And I'll have a higher 10% of my, basically, opportunity, which I can again acquire under the under construction.
Correct.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. That's it from me.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, you may press star and one. As there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Amit Kumar Singh for the closing comments.
Thank you, Yusuf. So thanks everyone for joining the call. We remain committed towards the guidance we have provided and will keep working towards the achievement of those guidances. And before we all head out, I would like to thank everyone again who showed up for this call. Thanks everyone. Good day. Thanks.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Bharat Highways Invit, that concludes this conference. Thank you all for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines.